Hello, welcome to Line of Judah Online. My name's Gary Stevens. We're dealing with the subject today, real-life examples of the healing ministry. We're doing part six of a seven-part series, and today, topic number seven, a teenage boy with a brain tumour. The following example is a personal one of my youngest son, who was at the time of this experience just 14 years old in 1996. One day he experienced dizziness and had to take a rest in bed for a while, and we thought that this was only just a quick passing thing due to his age of growing up. But it developed further to the point that we had to take him to the hospital for a checkup. The doctors said that they had found a ball of flesh the size of a golf ball in his brain, which they thought was not harmful, but later his condition became worse, and after tests, it was found that it was indeed a tumour and active. And it was located in the brain in the central nervous communication area, which could not be operated on by surgery, but only by radiation treatment. The doctors prescribed 30 shots of radiation to his head aimed at the tumor to stop its activity. As he started the treatment, I prayed and asked the Lord what I should do, and he spoke into my spirit that I should pray and speak his word, the scriptural verse, or the answer to each situation. The answer for the problem, so I prayed in the name of Jesus, God's word, over the tumor in authority as the believer. At the end of this medical treatment, they again checked for the tumor. It had been reduced to the size of half a fingernail. They were happy that the radiation treatment had worked, but I knew that God had supernaturally reduced the tumor down to this size by his word, destroying and dissolving it. All was thought now to be good, but he developed further complications in that one of his eyes started to go blind. He asked me what I should do, and I just said, believe God that he will heal your eye. The Lord told me to pray his word over the problem, which I did, but the eye completely went blind. The second eye started to go blind. Also, I told him to keep believing that God would heal him and restore his sight. Because the tumor was so large, it had squashed the optic nerves to both eyes, but they did not know this until much later. He was now fully blind, still believing God for healing, as he approached his 15th birthday on July 1997. Due to the damage done by the tumor to his communication center of his brain, he could not eat solid food anymore, but only liquids, and his last meal was on his 15th birthday. The situation, the natural said that he was dying, and there was no hope from the doctors, but God's word said differently to the doctor's report. I prayed and declared the word of God over him that he would not die but live, and declared the word of God. At this time he received medicine for condition of pain through needles and tubes into his body. So to keep him clean, I would take him out of his bed every second day, put him in a wheelchair and wash him in the shower, but he would complain that he did not want a shower. One Tuesday morning in September 1997, I said to him it was time for a shower. He complained once again as I picked him up from the bed and put him in the wheelchair. As I put him in the wheelchair, he died in my arms, and I could clearly see that he was gone. His face went white, his eyes opened up, his mouth fully open, and his head leaning to one side. I got a shock, and I said to his mother standing behind him in the wheelchair that he was gone. We both broke out in tears. But I remember my pastor said one day in a service that if anyone dies in front of you, lay hands upon them and command in the name of Jesus life back into them. I did exactly what he said to do. In a short time, my son came back. His eyes and mouth closed and his color came back. But by this time, the ambulance was on the way to take him to hospital. When we arrived at the first hospital, the doctor examined him and told me that we needed a hospital that only had care and not machines. And for a short moment, I could not understand what the doctor meant. Then I understood. He was dying and the doctors were saying, let him go. I still would not believe that he was dying because I prayed the word of God in faith over each and every situation of his condition and believed God would honor his word. The same day he was transferred to a second hospital that only had care. This was still on the Tuesday. Each day and night we were beside his bed, and in the same week on the Thursday night, late at about 11 to 12 p.m., he started to go down into a special type of breathing that indicated that he was passing away or dying. Just before he died, he opened his eyes and looked at me, went to say something, and then passed away quietly. I prayed Psalm 23 over him, and then left the hospital to go home to tell his older brother that his younger brother had died. I went down from the hospital into the car park. It was late at night and raining. I said to the Lord, when he arrives in heaven, that I wanted him to meet Jesus and Jesus to tell him, Dad, sister, say, I love you. About a week later, an intercessor, which is a person who prays on behalf of other people that I knew, phoned me and said the Lord had given a picture to her and a word for me. She said in a vision she saw Jesus standing in heaven and that my son walked up to Jesus and put his head on the chest of Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, Dad, sister, say, he loves you. When I prayed that prayer in the car park, there was nobody in the car park with me. Nobody knew what I prayed except the Holy Spirit. But the Lord sent these words back to me to let me know that he had my son with him in heaven. I knew that he was going to be in heaven as he gave his life to the Lord or became born again just a few weeks before he died. He was indeed born again and in heaven with the Lord. After receiving these words from the Lord, I then prayed once again to him and asked him some questions. I asked, Lord, I prayed your word over every situation during his sickness and believed in faith that he would not die, but he did. Why? I continued, your word is total truth and final authority, and you watch over your word to perform it, and Jesus Christ is the surety of it coming to pass or becoming real. Then the Lord spoke into my spirit and said, I answered two out of three prayers that you prayed to me. I dissolved and removed the ball of cancer according to my word. I gave you back his eyesight just for a short time before he died, but I could not give you back his life, he continued. I will not put my word over a person's free will. I thought about what he said to me, then I received the revelation that my son had died two times. My son died the first time in my arms, and as I put him in the wheelchair, he went straight to heaven and was with Jesus for a short time. Then I prayed for his life to come back into his body. He was drawn back from heaven to earth. After many months of sickness, his body was no longer capable of sustaining life anymore. He had been in heaven, experienced heaven, and he did not want to be back in his body on the earth. Simply, he chose heaven and Jesus over life here on the earth. The Lord had given me a few more days before my son died that I could reposition my faith in God's word and not lose my faith by the end result of my son dying. This experience only strengthened my belief in that God heals and answers prayer, but it also showed me that we as believers, born-again believers, have a part to do. We are the hands and the voice of God on the earth to pray, command, and speak God's word over every situation, including healing, including life. What points can we learn from this testimony? First point. Even though my son died and went to heaven, I did not give up praying for people for healing after that. Pray God's word, the answer, the scripture covering that situation in the name of Jesus, for it is the absolute truth. Be led by the Holy Spirit, step by step, for he is the Spirit of truth and will lead you into all truth. Point four, God will not override a person's free will, even if that person makes a wrong decision. Point five, you can ask God questions and wisdom regarding each and every situation that you go through, and he will give them to you. Point six, every born-again believer has the authority and the right to pray for healing and or miracles and expect God to answer that prayer in faith in the name of Jesus. Point seven, the word of God spoken in faith by a believer in the name of Jesus will heal every sickness, every disease that has a name or not a name. I hope this testimony has been a word of encouragement for every born-again believer listening to this testimony or this part. God wants us, the ordinary, everyday believer, to lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. You don't have to be in the fivefold ministry or an ordained minister of the gospel to do this. Just have faith and believe, lay hands upon the sick and command healing into the body. Don't pray, oh God, will you heal this person? God has done everything already. God expects us to lay hands upon the sick and command in the name of Jesus with our authority as a believer to command healing and life into a person's body and command sickness and disease to leave. I hope you've enjoyed this part six. We're going to part seven next, a final word on the healing ministry. Thank you for being with me and God bless.